If you have been wondering what I mean when I say taking your yoga practice off the mat, taking your yoga practice into life, then this is for you. Because of course, like when I say take, you know, your yoga practice off the mat, I don't mean to be going out and like doing downward dog at the office, right? It's really more of a mindset and an embodiment of how we're showing up. And I'm reading this book right now called One Simple Thing, A New Look at the Science of Yoga and How It Can Transform Your Life. And it is by Eddie Stern, in case you want to check that out. But basically, this book talks a lot about neuroscience, ancient wisdom, and how, like, through both science, the science aspect of yoga, as well as the ancient wisdom, the yogic philosophy, what that does for our life. Hello, Maggie. So throughout my yoga practice, throughout my career as not just a yoga teacher, but as a student of yoga, I have found it so fascinating how when I step on the yoga mat, I get whatever it is that I need. I mean, I have been in classes where I've gone in grumpy and I walked out feeling like a new person. I've gone in the next day and my lower back is hurting and I have left the class and I have had relief of lower back pain. No matter what I need when I get on the mat, I get. And this book talks more about that, but there's one specific part from this book that I wanted to share that I thought was so fascinating in the way that he phrased it. So I'm going to read that to you. So before I do, I do want to clarify, when we're talking about yoga and when I talk about yoga on Instagram on my stories, I'm talking about the physical part of yoga. So there are actually 8 parts to a yoga practice. In general, in life, in yoga philosophy, it's called the 8-limbed path. And the physical part of yoga is the 3rd limb of yoga. And that is what I'm talking about specifically. This is the part where we get on the mat and we put our body into shapes. And that's more about what I'm going to talk about today. And then how, by practicing on the mat, what this does for us when we roll up the mat and go on with our day. So in this book, The Science of Yoga, he says, changing the shape of the body automatically begins to change the shape of our mind because mind and body are a continuum. And I just love this so much. I'm going to read that part again. When we change the shape of our body, we change the shape of our mind. And like that connection piece, it's explained more in this book. So if you're into like science and you love that, then definitely go check that out. But he goes on to say that a simple thing like being able to touch our toes when we before could not affects how we feel about our potential. Possibilities begin to expand. Expanded capability of the body and expanded sense of our potential for growth and change go hand in hand. And I love that so much because I know personally, I couldn't touch my toes when I first got on the yoga mat. Now I can. It's like nothing to me. And this is typically the person who enters yoga for the first time, the physical practice, they're thinking about touching their toes, right? And I've even heard before like, oh, but I can't touch my toes, so I shouldn't do yoga, which is like saying you're going to wait to get healthy to go to the doctor. Yoga helps you with that, and it helps you see what's possible for you. And I have 2 really specific examples of how expanding our potential, how expanding your possibilities by having physical, by having that physical practice, what that actually looks like for you. So these 2 examples I'm going to share, one is from my life as I've been practicing yoga for 7 years now. And then one is from one of my clients. So I'll start with me as I am my first client. I am my own best client as I continue to practice yoga. And I noticed that I'm someone who in the past, and if this is you too, let me know, tap the heart, that I didn't like dealing with uncomfortable situations at all, to the point where I would like straight up avoid it. If it was going to make me uncomfortable, I wasn't going to do it. No matter how temporary that uncomfortable situation was, if I experienced any sort of sensation of discomfort, which for me would show up typically in my stomach, often in my shoulders, I would round forward, I would get, you know, an upset tummy, I would avoid it. Now, I noticed this on the yoga mat because I was avoiding the difficult postures that made me feel uncomfortable. So, for example, fallen star. To this day, I still experience discomfort, and there's a difference between discomfort and pain. I just want to clarify. It's uncomfortable for me and I don't like it, right? And that's what I mean here. I'm not talking about actual physical pain and that you should not do when you shouldn't do certain postures. So I would avoid these poses that made me feel uncomfortable, and I would instead go into child's pose or do something else and just completely avoid it. Now, what that looks like in real life is I would start to notice where that looks in real life, and I would learn to breathe through that because I was avoiding it on the mat. And I learned, well, I can move through this by breathing through it. And I also learned that it was temporary. Side note, the reason I noticed this is in a yoga book club, which has inspired my Yoga Babe book club, which I've decided to open up to the community. You can sign up for that at the link in my profile and join me once a month to chat about a book that helps us to take our yoga practice off of the mat. But in a former yoga book club that I was involved in, the facilitator said, like, what's your enemy pose? What pose do you avoid? And this is where it clicked for me. And this is why I feel so passionate about having a space inside the Yoga Babe membership, inside Yoga Babe book club, for us to have these conversations. Because for me, that was like, oh, that told me where I was avoiding poses. And that told me, okay, this might be something that's happening in life, right? So Sophie says yes. So really, this came to like this grand, movement when I decided to take a job in Italy. And I had to have an uncomfortable conversation with my boss. I had just taken a promotion to a new position a few weeks prior, and I had to let that position go in order to leave the school and move to Italy. And I was so, so uncomfortable having this difficult conversation because my boss was someone I really admired. She was a leader. She really put herself out there for me to get that new position. And I knew I was going to, well, I didn't know. I felt like I'd be really disappointing her by saying I can't take the promotion and I quit because I'm leaving the country to move to Italy. But because of my yoga practice, I was able to lean into that discomfort. I thought about the poses that I didn't love, the poses that made me feel uncomfortable, and how I lean into the discomfort and that they're also temporary, that I can breathe through it. And I got through that conversation and she was actually really supportive and really excited for me chasing a new dream of moving to Italy. So that is just that's just one example of how when we practice on the mat, we can then take that with us into life. The second example that I want to share is from one of my one-to-one clients. So I work with her. I've been working with her for several months now. And inside my yoga mentorship, you get support, of course, with deepening your yoga practice off the mat. But through our monthly calls, through Voxer, I'm also here to help you really take that into your life. So with this specific client of mine, she came to me really wanting to give herself love, right? Like she, and tap the heart, or let me know if you're also somebody who you want to give yourself love. Like we all want that for ourselves. We want to be our own best friend. And she found that she was being such a good friend to other people. She was that person at work in her relationships that you can rely on. And I'm sure you have in mind, maybe it's you, that you know who that person is in your friend group that you can rely on, right? But what she realized is she was pouring so much of herself into all of these other relationships that by the end of the day, she was depleted. She really didn't have much left to give to herself. So when we first started to work together, we spent a lot of time creating rituals that were really self-serving. And we spent a lot of time with nourishing yoga flows. You know, the ones where you like get in a hip opener, it feels so, so good. Ciao, Lucia. Where, you know, you get into certain yoga poses that just feel like, Yes, like you're just like a glow stick being cracked and it just feels so good. And we spent the beginning part of our time together really working on her ability to receive that kind of love from herself on the yoga mat. So fast forward, we did a lot of that work over the summer, and last month she had a girls' weekend away. And she was feeling a little bit of discomfort about this girls' weekend away because she was used to giving herself all in the past on these weekends. And by the end of the weekend, just feeling totally exhausted, so tired, no energy, no inspiration. And then to go into the work week like that is just an exhausting cycle to be in. So because we spent so much time on the mat, working on receiving, working on self-love, that when she came to this girls weekend, she decided on her own that she was going to drive by herself, which is a big deal if you're somebody who needs that alone time, and that you also, if you're used to being the one who drives and offering to be the one, you know, who gets the road trip snacks and like you love that kind of energy. For her, it was a huge deal to like pull back and be like, I'm gonna at least have the control of driving myself so I can have some alone time. She also decided to, on the mornings that she was there, wake up a little bit before the rest of the girls so that she could have some alone time for herself and to pour into herself first. As a result, because she poured into herself first, because she took the time to be like, no, I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna go outside and enjoy coffee by myself, take a few deep breaths, maybe work on, you know, opening the body a little bit because that's what we've been working on. She was used to it. She knew what to do. That I can then show up for the girls' weekend for my friends and I can be so present. I can really support my friends. I can really enjoy these connections without this anxiety or without this worry about how tired I'm going to be when I leave this girls' weekend away after I just gave myself everything, or gave everything of myself and I have nothing left to give. So through these examples, we're able to see that not only does yoga help us on the mat, right? Like both of us, both me and my client, we learned these lessons by showing up on the mat. And the cool thing about yoga is you get results right away. Like that same client that I was just talking about, because we started practicing this self-love and this receiving on the yoga mat within our first week of working together, she doubled her sleep. Okay, she doubled her sleep. Like she 50% increased her sleep. She went from 3 hours of sleep to 7 hours of sleep just by on the mat giving some time back to herself. So what I want you to do is think about the next time that you're on your yoga mat, really be open to what it is, what lessons there are to learn while you're there, and then see how that plays into your life. And if you want more support with that, there's 3 ways that you can work with me right now. One is the Yoga Babe Book Club. Like I said, I am opening that up to the entire community. It is free. It is a once a month call. We will have a book that we choose at the beginning of the month, and then the call will be towards the end of the month for about an hour on Zoom, where we'll talk about the book, we'll talk about our learnings, we'll see what this looks like on the mat and in our life. Like I said, this was how I learned that lesson on discomfort, okay? This was how I was able, through a yoga book club, and that's why I want to give that back to my community. This is how I was able to start to make these huge life shifts, because guys, moving to Italy is a big life shift, right? Like, that's a huge change. And I was able to do that because of my yoga practice. So that's the first way that you can work with me. Like I said, it's free. You can sign up on the link in my bio. The second is the Yoga Babe membership, where we take it even a layer deeper. We'll have a live yoga call once a month to meditate, to journal, to do yoga, to connect, along with weekly trainings where we do just this. You get the practice of yoga. You learn what you're doing, the practice of yoga, and you're learning how to take it into your life. Okay, you're learning how to live that life inspired by yoga that feels so, so good to you. So you can also find that link in my bio. And then of course, private one-to-one yoga mentorship, where we take that practice, we personalize your practice, you deepen your practice, you have me in your pocket to guide you, to support you, and we can create those monumental shifts that took me, you know, 5, 6, 7 years to create some big transformations. that we can do for you in such a short time period. Like I said, that first client I mentioned here in my in this live, she was able to double her sleep with my support in the first week. That's the kind of monumental shifts I'm talking about. So save this. I hope to see you inside one of my programs. And if you have a friend who you're like, yes, I want to do Yoga Babe Book Club together, send this to her so we can connect as well. Let's expand the community. Let's really be there to support each other. And I hope that you have a wonderful week of yoga and live.